Beloved congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this morning from the scripture part that we have been reading from Matthew 27. And I read especially as the text verses for the sermon, the verses 24 and 25. Matthew 27, verses 24 and 25. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." The theme for the sermon is His blood on us and on our children. 3 points of attention. The first point, Pilate washing his hands. Second point, the people taking responsibility. And the third point, God fulfilling his counsel. The theme is His blood on us and on our children. 3 points. Pilate washing his hands, the people taking responsibility, and God fulfilling his counsel. Congregation, there is an old poem in the Netherlands, written by a pastor, lived in 16th, 17th century, well-known one, and it's telling about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And this poem goes, "It were not the Jews, Lord Jesus, who crucified thee. It were not the Jews who brought thee before the judgment seat, who were spitting thee in thy face, who were binding thee and beating thee, who with their fists were beating and crucifying thee. It were not the Jews who took the, or the Roman soldiers who took the stick and the hammer, who put thee to the cursed wood of the cross, who were dividing thy clothes among each other. No, it was me, O Lord, that has done, I did it, that has done this thing. I was that heavy tree loaden upon thee. I was that rope that was binding thee. I was that nail and that spear and that stick that was beating thee. I was that crown with thorns full of blood. Oh, this all happened because of my sin." You understand that? Oh, that is a heart-touching thing. And that is the truth. It were not the Jews, not the Roman soldiers. It was me. I did it. My sins made Christ suffering and dying at a cross. I hope you can agree with that. Your heart is made willing to admit that, what this pastor was writing so long ago. Do you acknowledge that this is the truth? It was because of your sin. We need to see that. You can look with an angry face in the direction of the Jews or the Roman soldiers, but did you see your sins? Who made this happen? Did you ever see that? It was just before that the Passover lamb would be slaughtered. Next day it would be the Passover feast. And there the Lord Jesus is standing in front of the governor, Pilate. What a thing to see happening there. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the judge that will come to judge the world, standing there like it seemed to be powerless and as a guilty one, accused with many things, there standing before the governor who has to judge him. Well, we know that one day Pilate and Herod had to stand before him. The day that the Lord Jesus will return, then they will stand before him who will judge all mankind that ever has lived. How there he is standing with the blood on his face, the thorn crown on his head, scorned, despised, weak, tired. Awful to see how much this man is suffering. You can read it on his face. There he is standing as the great Passover lamb that will be slaughtered for the sin of the world. And they are accusing him with many things, and the Lord is silent, keeping his peace. Pilate didn't understand that. He was amazed, surprised. Why is this man not speaking? Usually everybody tried to defend himself. He doesn't understand. And he has enough knowledge of man to see this man is not a criminal. And he becomes aware this man is innocent. He is guiltless. And he gives a testimony about it, that this man is innocent. So then it's easy, Pilate. You can just let him go. Because you see, you know that he is innocent. But so easy it isn't. Now, let's look at Pilate. There is the Lord Jesus standing. But now let's look at Pilate. This man in a mighty position, this governor. And you could have compassion with this man. How bad it is. Although you can be in a mighty position, if you do not have principles. Let this be one lesson in this scripture part. What a bad thing it is if there are no principles in your life. So you see, Pilate, he is thrown to every direction, like a ship on the waves of the ocean in a storm when it has lost its ability for steering, then it will go in all directions. And that's how Pilate is. That's how he must feel inside. What does he have to do? What a fight inside. And there's no need if he had principles. But he didn't have them. No. He wanted the people to love him. And that's a bad position. If that is your guidance, what people want you to do. So Judas was directed by Satan to betray the Lord. And Peter was directed by his flesh to deny the Lord. But Pilate is directed by what people want. Oh, he has a desire that people would honor him and love him. And that will be his reason for making a decision. And that's why it is so difficult for him. Now he knows this man is without guilt. And even his wife, in a very mysterious way, is sending him a message. The Lord has shown her in a dream that a man before her husband is innocent. Pilate is receiving that message. And in the meantime, the people has time to think again. To think a second time. So what will happen? What will the people do? What will Pilate do? What would you do? What are the principles in your life? What are you guided by? What are the reasons why you make your decision? The honor of man, that's a sad thing. That can be there. They can give you glory. You can be popular for a certain time. But that can change, and usually it will change very fast. You can spend a lot of energy to get a love of man, that they will glorify you. But in a very short time, it can be gone and it will be gone. Is that your life? You are miserable if you are like that. So our guidance in life, the way we behave should be, what is God thinking of what I am doing? What is the Lord saying about it? What is the will of God in my life now, at this time? What is according to the word of God? What is the way to be honored by the Lord for grace? Yes, it's not my foundation for salvation, but still it's true that there is an honor and the love of the Lord, especially in being obedient to Him. We can read many examples of that in the word of God. Is that our concern? It makes life much more easy in a certain way. Then my life is like a ship that is going in a straight way, in a very certain direction. If I am guided by the word of God, it will save me from a lot of hesitation and fight inside and doubting. In that way, it's making life easy. He could soon make his decision. This man is without guilt, so he can go free. And he would have rest in his conscience and in his heart. He doesn't want that because he's seeing that the people wouldn't like that. And he knows that the people do not love him. Pilate was a cruel man. We can read in the Gospel of Luke about what he did. And the Jews didn't forget that. They still remembered what he did. And it was a terrible thing. We read in Luke 13, verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He had killed them while they were sacrificing. Oh, yeah. And he was afraid because of his position. If they would go to Caesar, if they would complain about him, accuse him, he could lose his position. That made him so weak. So this man that seems to be in a mighty position is very vulnerable, very weak. He's afraid of the people. What a miserable thing, isn't it? If you live an unrighteous life, we are so miserable in many ways. And that's how Pilate is. And he tries to escape. He's taking Barabbas. And he's offering them the choice. And Barabbas was a murderer. And they were choosing Barabbas. So we can learn about Pilate. How miserable you are. Although you can be in a mighty position for the world, if you depend upon the glory and the favor of man, and not upon the favor of God. And then we can also learn from what we see the people doing here. They are choosing a murderer, that he would be free instead of the Lord Jesus. So Pilate is asking them, well, why? What did he do wrong? And they do not have any reason. They just can shout, let him be crucified. So they are out of reason. And we see how much man can be influenced by their leaders, by the priests and the elders. They used the time the people had to think a second time to influence them so that they would have the Lord Jesus crucified. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. There's no reason. It's against reason. But it's all their emotions swept up. That's how it goes in this world. All at a sudden. The one that did so much good to them, they are all against him. Their emotions are all against him. They are so blinded, so deceitful are our hearts, so able to deceive. We have to pray that the Lord will keep us from these sort of things. We can turn against a person that is guiltless, and that our emotions are just upset against a person. Can happen so easily. Let us be very careful about that, you know. And let us think a lot about how we are before we accuse others too much, like the people did here. And they believe their leaders, and they want the Lord Jesus to be crucified. At the same time, we know it is the will of God. It is the hand of the Father. It is the hand of God taking the sword against the shepherd, so that his son would die at the cross. But that does not mean that Pilate is not responsible for what he is doing, and that the people is not responsible. Yes, they are, and we are responsible for what we are doing. Although there can be many circumstances that made us doing it. We are living in a society that more and more you hear that in court, when a person was doing a crime, then they say, well, because you see it in the Netherlands, I don't know about how it is here, but they say, well, it was because of this reason. You know, he had bad friends, and he had a difficult youth. And so that can all can be true. But at the end, it seems, you know, that one who did a crime, that he is the one to be pitied more than the other one who was done a crime against. And that's a way of thinking in our society, that there's no room for responsibility, and where is no responsibility, there is no guilt. And where is no guilt, there is no place, no room for forgiveness and repentance also to the Lord. That's how the way of thinking of society is more and more. But we are responsible, and we have to take that responsibility and to show before the Lord our humble repentance. Pilate, he is doing what he does. And it had to happen this way. But one day he will stand before the judge of the whole world. And what would he say? What will we say? How much did the Lord give to us? So that we know But the truth is that we know what the will of God is. That we know how to be saved by Christ. The Lord Jesus will ask us, what did you do with my gospel? What did you do with my blood that I shed at the cross? Did you despise it? Did you ignore it? Or did you receive it to wash and cleanse your conscience? Pilate, he doesn't see any way to escape. The one way he has to go, to be honest, and to let the Lord Jesus go, he doesn't want to go, because it could him cost his position, and he doesn't want it. And then he's doing the thing. He's taking water. They have to bring water, and then he's starting to wash his hands. It was a thing that was done to show that you are guiltless, without guilt. We read in the books of Moses about it. We read it in Deuteronomy 21, verse 6 and 7. When it happened that someone was killed anywhere in the field, then they would go to the city that was most near to the place where the body was found. And then they would ask the elders of the city if they knew about this murder, when the person that was killed. And all the elders of the city, if they said, well, we don't know, we didn't do that, and we've not seen it. And all the elders of the city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the ephah. So they would take a young cow, and that would be slaughtered there, and then they would wash their hands over that young cow that is beheaded in the valley, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it, to show that they were guiltless. And now Pilate is taking that use. They have to bring water, and he is washing his hands there before the people. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. That's how he tries to escape from his guilt. But this is useless. When he willfully is continuing in sin, you cannot wash your hands in guiltlessness. You cannot escape from your guilt in this way. Oh, yeah, we try many times to escape from our guilt with all sorts of ways, of reasons. Did you do that? Yes, I did it, but, you know, in fact, it was my brother who gave me the wrong example. Oh. So I couldn't help it. Yes, I did it, but, you know, many people do it. So it's not wrong. Yes, I did it, but, you know, no one is hurt by it, so it's not so bad. So that's the way we try to escape from our feelings of guilt. Don't do that. See what you do in an honest way in the light of the Word. And take responsibility for what you did. Do not blame everyone else. Your parents, maybe they made mistakes. But don't hide behind that. Take your own responsibility. Maybe your friends, they give you a wrong example, but do not hide behind that. Maybe you saw many people doing it. Do not hide behind that. You're like Adam and Eve. They were hiding in paradise. But come. Come to the Lord and confess your guilt. Take your responsibility. And you will receive forgiveness. Do you think that Pilate was having rest, real rest in his conscience, when he tried to escape in this way from his guilt? Oh no, he didn't. We try to hide our sin somewhere in a dark corner of our heart. We hide it. We cover it. We put something over it. We try to forget it. You shouldn't do that. You should open it up. Take it away. What you put over it. Why? Because that you would bring it to the Lord. Lord, this is what I have done. It was not my friend. I did it. Oh Lord, forgive me. So that the Lord would cover your sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would receive a real, lasting, strong rest in your heart of forgiveness of your sin. Pilate is washing his hands, but that's not a way to escape from his sin. But then the people is taking responsibility. Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." It seems that Pilate is asking for that. "See ye to it." And they took it. They answered all the people, and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." How could they say that? His blood be on us and on our children. Do they know what they say? It's a well-known expression. We find it in some places in Scripture. You know, when they went to spy the promised land, they came to Jericho, and there was Rahab, the harlot, and they said, "Well, okay, you helped us, so you will be saved, but take care that your whole family will be inside. If they will not be in your house and they will die, then their blood is upon their heads." It means then they are guilty because they didn't obey what we said to them. We remember what David did when Saul was killed and Jonathan. There came a young man to him and he said, "Well, King, I was there where the war was, where they were fighting, and then I saw Saul and Jonathan, and Saul asked me to kill him because he couldn't escape. And so I killed him." And David became very angry and he said, "Well, now your mouth has testified against you and your blood is upon your head because you have said that you killed the anointed one of the Lord." So it was a well-known expression. When you said, "Well, let that blood be upon my head," and you say, "Well, I take responsibility. It's my responsibility what happens here." And that's what all the people say. They all said, then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Do they really know what they say? The blood of the Son of Christ, the righteous one. Even Pilate gave a testimony that he is righteous. His blood be upon us and upon our children. Can they bear this responsibility? Oh, let us think for a moment what we can do many times. How we can say words that we afterwards can regret so much. Isn't that true? Didn't we do that many times? That we were saying words and it's like shooting an arrow. And if you let it go, you cannot bring that arrow back. Yes, you can regret it while it's still going there, but you cannot bring it back. So you can say words and they can in fact hurt more than arrows or bullets can do. Is that what you are aware of? And you can go to that person that you were speaking about against and you can say, "Well, I'm sorry about that." And it can happen that that person would say, "Well, I forgive you," and that's good. But it has happened. It still has happened. It can be, and it many times is so, that way, that it did some damage. and that is hard to heal. Oh, we have to pray, O Lord, that I would watch my mouth, what I speak. A word can be speaking so fast. Do we know what we say? Did they really know what they said? Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. There must have been a lot of emotion there. By their leaders. That they shouted, Let him be crucified! Let him be crucified! Now, they are so blinded because of that sinful way that they are in. That they say, let his blood be on us and on our children. So the guiltless, the righteous one will be killed. And they say, we take that responsibility. Let it be on us and on our children. What a responsibility. What you as parents do concerning your children. How much can come from my behavior to my children? Do I think about that? Do I pray for wisdom and for a life that is full of the fear of the Lord because of my children? There are they standing. And sometimes it happens. Maybe that one person wouldn't say it, but now they are in the multitude. And they saying, all the people said, His blood be on us. There is something, a spirit of darkness now among them. What a dark page in the history that they said this, His blood be on us and on our children. And let us be careful, congregation, that we now at this time would not think, well, this would never happen to me. Oh, those bad Jews. No, we should not think in that way. But we should in a humble way think about how many times we've said things that testify against us. What we did in our lives with our mouth, its words against God, against our parents, against our children, things that we said that we should not have said, how much we sin with our tongue. And now they take this responsibility. And they couldn't bear it. What would the Lord do? We know what happened in history to the people of the covenant of God. We know how in 70 after Christ the Romans came and they took the city Jerusalem. They came around the city and many Jews were so desperate. They jumped down in the depth to die there. And the Romans were so angry, they put rows of crosses along the roads to Jerusalem. And they crucified many, many Jews there. Oh, what a suffering. The Lord had prophesied that it would happen. And then we remember what happened in history. Oh, how much the people of the Jews suffered in Europe. I'm reading a book about that. I didn't know that even. In the Middle Ages, 1200, 1300, 1400, those ages, how much they suffered, how they were forced by Christians, how they were persecuted. So that's guilt on our side that we Christians did that against the Jews, they that are still the people of the covenant of the Lord. We did it. We Christians made them suffer so much in World War II. what happened? 6 millions of Jews were killed by the Nazis. And did we always help them enough? A lot of them were helped. A lot of people risked their lives to save Jews. But did we enough to stop this terrible thing? And at the same time we see the hand of the Lord. Wasn't there a chastisement of the Lord against his people of the covenant? No. We should never say or think that the Lord has forsaken his people. He has not. He is so faithful to his people of the covenant. We can read it in a letter to the Romans. Paul says, no, the Lord has not forsaken his people. His promises are true. He is faithful. And we pray that the Lord will open their eyes, that they will see the Messiah as their Savior, the Lord Jesus. And it is happening in our days that more and more Jews start to confess the Messiah as their Savior. Let us pray for them more. They were brought back to the country. Ah, such an unexpected, in a human way unexpected, but expected from the word and from the promises of the Lord. Yeah. So there's a warning in what the Jews did. Oh, what a responsibility they took. And what a chastisement went over this people. And now we are not better. There's a warning that we should watch our words. But maybe if you are sitting here and you have said such sinful and wrong things, and maybe Satan can attack you about it and show you what you did wrong as parents to your children, or what you did wrong as children to your parents or to your brothers or sisters or to someone else that you are related to in one or other way, that you think, oh, I did it wrong. Now see how faithful the Lord is. That the Lord was not forsaking his people. And that he brought his people back to the country that he promised them to Abram. And that still we see now Jews coming to the Lord Jesus and saved. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness for our terrible words that we were speaking. And we didn't see the responsibility. When we were speaking and afterwards, maybe we saw it. And we regretted what we said. Now we have to see our sins. And we have to repent in a humble way. And the Lord is so willing to forgive. Yeah, you sometimes see it. At parents at the end of their life, they say, oh, children, I want to ask you to forgive me what I did wrong to you. And children to their parents. Mother, father, to you, would you forgive me what I did wrong to you? And there's no need to wait till the end of our life. Why not today? Are we humble enough to confess to each other? If we are not, then are we really humble enough to confess to the Lord? They took a responsibility they couldn't take. But still the Lord was busy to fulfilling his counsel. This had to happen. They said, his blood upon us and our children. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And how did they, what was the meaning? Well, they thought, well, let it happen. We can easily take this responsibility. They are many. And then they took it. But now, isn't there another meaning in these words? The people said, and answered, all the people answered, His blood be on us and on our children. Isn't that what has to happen? That the blood of Christ will come upon us and upon our children. I think you will pray for that. In another way, as the blood that is so powerful to cleanse and wash us from all our sins. I think it is our daily prayer. The Lord gave you children. You will daily pray for your own soul and their souls, that the blood of Christ will come upon us to cover all our sins. The sins with our words, the sins with our thoughts and our deeds. Do you have expectation of the power of the blood of Christ to wash you and your children from all your sins? Let us read in the book of Acts how their guilt came back to them, how they had to hear about their guilt, what they did. Pilate, he gave Christ over, and he thought, so now it's finished. And they said, well, we take that responsibility. And Christ was taken to the cross, and he died at the cross. And then they went home. And they said, okay, it's finished now. But it was not finished. This thing came back. Sins that we maybe forgot, oh, they come back. They are in the book of the Lord. And one day when the Lord Jesus will return, our consciences will be opened like a book. And then we will see that His judgment is righteous. And what I hope and what I pray is that you will experience that your conscience is opened before the day of your death or before the day of judgment is coming. And that you will see your sins. And then, no, we cannot see everything. It is too much. But that you will see your sins. And that you will plead for forgiveness. Did you do that, boys and girls? Did you see it? Your sins. Is your conscience opened? Or are you hardening your conscience? And continuing in sin? And when you have sinned, you think, well, okay, that's past. That's finished now. It isn't. It isn't. It will come back. And if it doesn't come back in this life, if you do not see it before you die, it will come back in all eternity. And it will be such a burden in hell that you know, oh, I deserve it. I did it. I took that responsibility. I took it willfully many times. I continued in my sins. I was not willing to repent my sins. And how good is the Lord if He is bringing your guilt home. Says, this is yours. This is what you did. That's what the Lord did to the Jews. We can read it in the book of Acts. We read it on the day of Pentecost. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's true. That's what Peter says. It was a counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was in His providence that this happened. Ye have taken. That's what you did. That was your responsibility. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death. He's showing them their guilt. That's grace. If the Lord in preaching is showing you your guilt. He did it again in chapter 3. But ye deny the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He doesn't say, well, let's keep silent about that. That's too painful. But he's taking that sharp thing of their guilt so that their pride would be broken, that proud hearts would be pricked, that they would humble themselves before the Lord. He did it again in chapter 4 of the book of Acts. Be it known unto you all, that all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, that this man stands here before you whole. It's grace. If the Lord is showing your guilt, we do not like it, we resist it. Pastor, you shouldn't speak so much about sin. No, it's making me sad. It's giving me pain. It's hurting me. I hope so. So that you will kneel down to be healed by the balm that there is in Gilead and in the Lord Jesus. There can be a resistance. And we also read that. And from nature it is there. And we read it in the book of Acts, in Acts 5. We read how we can resist against this. Then the high priest asked them, saying, book Acts 5, verse 28. The high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. How they are turning it. They said, well, we can take it. Let his blood be upon us and our children. Now they don't like it anymore. They see what happens. They become restless. They resist it. That's also possible. And you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now they point to the apostles and say, well, by your preaching, you bring this man's blood upon us. Now the preacher is guilty. Because they do not want to be guilty themselves. They turn it. That's how deceitful our hearts are from nature. So it's grace if we accept it. If we humble ourselves under the hand of the Lord, if we become the greatest sinner before God, and if we cry for grace, did we do that? Or is the Lord chastising you because you are not willing to humble, to become the most guilty sinner on earth? That's grace. That's hard to be chastised. But if that will bring you to repentance, to accept your responsibility of your guilt and sin, to come to the Lord Jesus to be forgiven, the Lord is so faithful. He has not forsaken his people of Israel, although they did the worst thing on earth. But do you remember how we started the sermon? And do you admit that? It were not the Jews. It were not the Roman soldiers. Oh no. It is me. I am the one that by my sins brought Christ to this suffering, made him suffering. And to be nailed at a cross. Oh, is it such a burden to you, that sin? See the faithfulness of the Lord. Paul is writing in Romans 11, the Lord has not forsaken his people. His promises are true and powerful. And now there is salvation for the Jews. And there is salvation for you. You and I, we made Christ's suffering and dying at a cross. We are responsible for that blood that is shed there. It is for our sake, because of my sin. And now that blood is there for our sake. Oh, let it come upon us and our children for reconciliation, for atonement, to be pure, to be cleansed, to be washed from all our sins. We need it so much. And it is there. It is there in abundance. Oh, and then we will glorify the Lord for that, for all eternity, for His unspeakable gift. In His beloved Son, in the Lord Jesus, He was slaughtered as a lamb, so that His blood could come on us. We be cleansed. We know that joy in your soul, is a burden taken from your shoulders. Do you see that there is an open door, that there is a way that is leveled by the blood of Christ? Did you come? Why not? It's one of the two. The blood of Christ is coming upon you, giving a testimony against you, your guilt. Or the blood of Christ is coming upon you when you receive it in faith and repentance, giving a testimony in favor of you. Father, I paid for this boy, for this girl, for this man, for this woman, for this child. How is it in your life? Amen.